Living in a haunted apartment could be terrifying, or it could be kind of beautiful. Our guest today, a musician in New York, cannot ignore the multiple spirits that haunt his queen's apartment. So he's learned to live with them in harmony, even when they try to bother him in the middle of the night. Let's hear his ghostly stories today on Homespun Haints.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Homespun Haints. I'm Becky.
And I'm Diana.
And today on the show, we have Carrie Blue, who is a musician and also resident of the apartment that we heard about in last week's episode with Sarah Jenny Park.
Yes, this is a lateral tasting of the same ghost.
Yes, exactly. So we heard from Sarah. If you haven't listened to that episode, go take a listen to episode 61, where she talks about a ghost haunting her apartment in Queens. And today we're going to talk to the person who currently lives in that apartment. How cool is that? Well, he's actually about to move out and she's about to move back in, but he's got experiences with the same ghost.
Exactly. That's the cool part, is that we get to see the same spirit from multiple people's eyes. But it's not a famous spirit. It's just the spirit in this apartment.
Yeah. Well, not all ghosts are famous. That's actually something that really irks me.
Which is sad. Yeah. I know. Well, right? I'd want to be famous if I came back.
Well, no, what I mean is, like, when people are like, oh, yes, we have a ghost in our apartment. We think it's the ghost of Benjamin Franklin. And I'm like, oh, Benjamin Franklin does not exist in every haunted house. Anyway, speaking of music, and it is almost October. Well, how does that song go? The U2 song, October.
I have no idea. I don't know the song, but you do sound like you're like an introduction for a Vegas show right now.
Really? No, I need to know this.
October, and the leaves are stripped bare of all they wear. What do I care?
There we go.
I don't know that song.
Not many people do. It's like...
Oh, okay. It's one of U2's secret songs.
not a radio hit.
They only play it at sad live shows in the fall.
I've never heard it live either.
Oh, I've never heard U2 live.
I saw them live twice, actually.
Why?
So it's kind of funny. It's a really funny story, actually.
Tell me more.
So this guy and I were dating, and we went on this, like, I guess kind of a double date with one of his friends and one of my friends. And his friend was really interested in my friend, but my friend wasn't really that interested in his friend. The four of us went out together. Yeah, it was just one of those things. So we go out, and we saw that U2 was going to be performing in Chicago in May. And this is January. This is January of 2001. So they're going to be performing in May. So we come back from this quote-unquote double date, and all four of us, like, this is back when, like, you have to have all your friends call at the same time the minute tickets go on sale. All four of us are, like, on landlines and cell phones. Like, so each of us has, like, a landline on one ear and a cell phone on the other. So eight lines trying to get through, and the person who got through bought all four tickets for us, all sitting together. So by the time the show happened in May, this guy that I'd been dating for 4 years, we had broken up, really nasty breakup, and these two people never wanted to see each other again. But none of us were willing to give up our tickets. So we all sat very uncomfortably. And, like, all of my ex's friends were like, hey, I'm sure Becky's not going to go with you. Can I have her ticket? And he's like, I think she's going. And the same, like, all my friends were like, hey, I'm sure he's not going to go with you. Can I have his ticket? And I was like, no, I think we're just going to sit there in uncomfortable silence for the entire show. We did. We toughed it out.
That sounds like a fun time.
It was great. And then 9/11 happened later that year.
Yep. Yeah, I was just thinking that. Yeah.
And U2 decided that it was their duty to come back through again and do the show again to boost everyone's spirits.
Oh.
So October, October 2001, they come back through again. And another friend of mine, I played in a band with him, calls me up and he's like, hey, you want to go see U2? I got these tickets. And I was like, sure, it can't be any worse than last time. So what happened was his former voice teacher was now a monk and lived in a monastery, and somebody had just gifted the monastery these U2 tickets, like a donation. Like they figured the monastery would sell them. And
don't give money, give U2 tickets.
So all these monks are like, we're not going to go to a U2 show. So they call up my friend, the guy that, you know, the monk who is my friend's former. He's like, I have a friend who likes rock and roll stuff. So he calls up my friend and he says, somebody just left these three random U2 tickets on the doorstep of our monastery. Can I sell them to you? They're not even sitting next to each other. They're just like in random places throughout the stadium. And my friend is like, sure. And the monk goes, what do you think they're worth? Like $15 each. And my friend, being the good Christian man that he is, said, that sounds about right. So then he calls me. He's like, you want to see U2 for $15? And I was like, well, shit. Yeah. PJ Harvey's opening for them. That would be awesome. So.
How bizarre.
So I saw him again. Yeah, how weird. So I've seen him twice under completely random circumstances in the same year. And that was 20 years ago.
How adorable. Yeah. Did you enjoy the show? Good show?
You know, I don't remember much of it.
Was PJ Harvey good at least?
Okay, so I can't remember. PJ Harvey opened for one of them and Garbage opened for the other.
Oh, that would have been worth going.
Yeah, except Garbage's sound equipment went out like 10 minutes into their set. And so Shirley Manson just tried to tell jokes on stage while they're waiting for them because it was so bad. She's a brilliant singer, not a comedian.
So. I would have paid so much extra to see that. Oh my God. That's a once in a lifetime.
Yeah. So how did we get on this? Oh yeah, I started singing a U2 song that nobody knows.
Hey guys, it's Tammy Merhep Chavez.
And Bryce Mitchell Williams. We are the hosts of Hollyweird Paranormal. It's a podcast about Hollywood true crime and the paranormal based out of Los Angeles, California.
We spike this Hollywood cocktail with stories of true crime and its paranormal aftermath, along with dirty Hollywood scandals and secrets that make up this weird city of Hollywood and its surrounding areas that make up this crazy state of California.
Catch our episodes every Sunday on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Blueberry, and Stitcher.
Life is too short to be normal. Stay weird with Hollyweird Paranormal.
All right, but you mentioned a cocktail, and now it's all I'm craving.
Right? Let's end this promo and get one.
Yes.
Diana, we have another patron to give a shout out to.
Whoop, whoop. Patrons. Whoop, 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 boop, boop,
boop, boop, boop. Yeah, so. We love it so much. Cindy. Cindy just joined our Patreon. And Cindy, welcome to our weird little indie podcast family. We're excited that you are with us on our Patreon.
Thank you, Cindy. We appreciate you so, 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 so much for listening to our show. And if you too want to become a patron of the arts, of our art, our spooky haunted art, you can go to patreon.com/homespunhaints.
And speaking of the love that we have for y'all, we've teamed up with Wicked Cat Clothing. So for you guys, Wicked Cat Clothing is offering a very, very special discount. It's just for you. 35% off anything at Wicked Cat Clothing using the code HHPODCAST35.
Wicked Cat Clothing, they specialize in all black clothing featuring images and phrases from various horror movies out there. Mm. Yeah, so if you're a horror movie fan and you like wearing all black, you will fit right in with Wicked Cat Clothing. Soon to have A swimwear line. Becky, we could use some goth swimwear.
Could totally use some goth swimwear.
Get your 35% off with code HHPODCAST35 at wickedcatclothing.com.
And go check out our affiliate Ectogasm at ectogasm.net, where you can get 10% off all orders over $35 or more with the code HAINTS. That's at ectogasm.net. Enamel pins and socks and face masks. I just got one, Diana. It's so cool. It's a metal pin and it says, "I take my coffee the way I take my magic." So, yeah. So, two spooky places for you to get all your Halloween shopping done, because we don't need to shop for Christmas. We need to shop for Halloween, and now's the time.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you are on our Facebook group, please post things. It doesn't all have to be us. We want to see your posts.
We value your communication.
And if you want to know how to get there, go to facebook.com/groups/homespunhaints and join. You can also follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, TikTok, and YouTube at homespunhaints. And our YouTube channel is growing. So go check it out, youtube.com/homespunhaints. But yeah, we're on TikTok because we have no idea what we're doing.
Because where else are we going to post videos of you burping the alphabet, Becky?
Well, that's also on YouTube and Facebook.
That's like everywhere. Never mind.
All right. On that note, let's bring on Carrie. Today on the show, we have Carrie Blue, who is a musician and a teacher currently in Queens. So, Carrie, we met you through our publicist, Alexandra Cole, who has a great PR business, Podra Land. She focuses on helping women who are in podcasting get publicity about their show. And we have been working with her for a few months, and she introduced us to you, and she introduced us to Sarah that we heard from last week. And what is super cool is that Sarah spoke about a haunted apartment that she had some experiences in, and she subletted that apartment to you, Carrie. And you also saw some great things in it. So we're gonna let you tell us all about it and get all the spooky feels from that. Before we do, though, we'd love for you to tell us a little bit about your music, because you are a musician. People can find you on Spotify. It's Carrie Blue, B-L-U. And of course, we'll have links to all of that in our show notes. But tell us a little bit about the kind of music you do and how long you've been doing it, and just anything else you'd like to share.
Great. Thank you so much. First of all, thank y'all so much for having me on. This is exciting. Again, my name is Carrie Blue. I am a musician. I've been a musician, songwriter. I'll say songwriter first. I'll say I've been a songwriter for about 12 years. I've been a functioning musician for probably the last 2 or 3 years, honestly. And I'm excited about combining those two things. I grew up in a home, very Christian household. And gospel music was always playing, but my mother loved soul and she loved R&B. So we always had Anita Baker and Kim and so many others in the house. And I would have to sneak and listen to rap music. I couldn't really it wasn't okay to play it in the house, but like when everybody went to bed and I'd get under the covers and listen, I'd be bobbing my head to some Jay-Z. And it grew into a love. It grew into a passion. And this year, actually, I released two singles. One was Think, has hit 62,000 streams in about two months.
Which that's is amazing. Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's the first big, big single that I've ever had. And I'm starting to communicate with fans from as far away as Turkey and Australia, which is amazing. And I'm so thankful and I feel so blessed by it. And I just recently released another song, Same World. And I think it has a really important message. It really centers around the urgency needed within equality. And that's equality of all types in this world right now. I love music and I curate a music festival as well. So I love seeing my peers perform and I really want to branch out and do smaller micro festivals throughout the entire country in each state. We're doing our home base is here in New York, but we're doing one in Charlotte, North Carolina in September, which is our first one in Charlotte, which is a really big, big thing for me. And I'm really thankful. Music is my heart. It's how I communicate. It's how I express.
Congratulations on your single reaching that many downloads. That's amazing.
Thank you
very,
so much.
Very cool. What is your music festival called so we can link back to that?
It's called the Empire State Music and Arts Festival.
Okay.
And the subsidiaries, the one in Charlotte is called the Queen City Empire Music Fest.
Okay. Is it focused on rap artists or just any kind of music?
Multi-genre. So the type of music that I do is called Racklectic Soul. And it's because I just pull from so many different genres of music in order to create what I feel is my style. And I think we should go to shows and listen to live music the same way we do on our iPods. Well, not iPods, but our Apple Music. That was a while ago. Our Apple Musics and our Spotify, we very rarely just listen to the same genre over and over again. So I wanted to make sure that I curated it based on people's tastes and not just what I did. And I love it. I think it's amazing. And we've been doing it for like 6 years and it's only getting better. So I'm really thankful and really humbled by the opportunity to work with so many great people.
I definitely have heard that when I listen to your music, the singles that you have that you just mentioned, they're incredibly complex musically. There is so much going on in there, but it doesn't overwhelm you. You know, I've done a really great job of like meshing those styles together. So
Thank you. Very much
enjoyed that. Everybody, please be sure you check those singles out. And yes, you do have some very important messages in them.
Thank you. And shouts out to all the producers that I've worked with. Air Volley, Ivan, or Minecraft is his name, Kyoto, all of them are amazing producers and have taught me so much. And Keezy Beats, I'm just so thankful to have worked with them. And that's why the music sounds the way it does.
Yeah, you know, it's very well produced. So you've actually moved out of the haunted apartment.
Yeah,
right?
We did. And I'm sad because I miss that apartment. I really do. I love where we are now, but I definitely do miss that apartment.
I guess the best place to start would be the beginning. When you moved in, I guess you probably knew there was some entity there. I'm sure Sarah told you about it.
We did.
What did she tell you? Because we just interviewed her and heard her side of the story. But from your point of view, what'd she warn you?
So honestly, it's funny. I don't really have a recollection of her telling me any specifics about the entity. What I do remember is her saying that there was a ghost in the house. But my partner, Alexandra, who we spoke about earlier, and Sarah, during the quarantine, and maybe even earlier than that, we're really close couple friends. And so we would interchangeably come over each other's house, have dinner, have wine, and just talk the night away. And during one of those nights, I guess Sarah spoke in detail kind of about the ghosts, but I wasn't present or was tuned out and was talking to Sarah's partner, Miguel. And so I don't remember any of the description, but I very, very strongly remember her saying that there was an entity in the home and that it wasn't like forceful or angry or anything. It just was there. And there was definitely a presence. And then I experienced the entity and I told them, and my description was very close, if not like identical to hers. And that's when she kind of was like taken back and was like, oh my God, that's what I saw. Cause I guess my friend Miguel, her partner, didn't necessarily believe, or I don't know what the case was, but she was like, I told you that's what I saw. That's what I saw.
So what was the first time that you saw something? Like, walk us through it.
So I have very rarely gone to sleep throughout the night. I always get up and go to the bathroom at least once in the middle of the night. It's like clockwork. It's normally around 3 o'clock, maybe like 3:30 in the morning. And this particular night, I had gotten up. I'm almost positive that we had drank the night before we had gone to sleep, so a few hours before. We had drank and my heart was racing. I remember waking up and my heart like beat just racing. We had had liquor or whatever. I don't like to see light when I'm sleepy because it wakes me up. I can't go back to sleep. And it doesn't matter if it's sunlight, if it's artificial light from a lamp, I can't go back to sleep. So I always walk through the house dark, right? Or I'll have my mask over my eyes and I've just mapped out our space so much that I know how to get there. And so I go in the bathroom and the lights are off and I turn to go to the sink to wash my hands. And when I do, this entity, this older Asian lady, green, I just remember a green glow about her. She was just standing in the doorway. And I remember like pausing slightly to just take in, to be like, that's like one of those moments where I'm like, I wish I had my phone. Like, where is my phone right now? Because nobody's gonna believe what I just saw, you know what I mean? And so I turned and it was like a split second of taking it in and then realizing what I was seeing and then turning on the light and it was gone. I never felt threatened. I never felt afraid. Because you hear stories like this all the time, you know what I mean? People seeing entities and all of this stuff. It was just one of those defining moments that lets me know that I'm not one who flew over the cuckoo's nest. Like, I knew what I saw. It was tangible. It was right there in front of me. And I never saw her again after that. But I remember it just being a calm then. And I went back in the room and I talked to Zandra and was like, babe, I just saw this. And it's funny that like around this particular ghost, I'm just kind of connecting this around this particular entity, because I never made contact with this particular entity. So I think they define that as a ghost, and then a poltergeist is one that can actually commune with the physical world and actually like touch and move and manipulate the physical world. I never actually touched her, but I do notice that a lot of time memory is affected when this particular entity seems to be in the vicinity, because I went back in to talk to Zandra about it that night and told her what I saw. And then the next morning she had no recollection of us talking. Like at all. Ooh. Like just no recollection of us talking at all. And that's happened a couple of times when entities have kind of come and been apart, where we'll have a situation and I'll be like, yo, I literally told you this 2 hours ago. And Zandra will be like, I don't remember talking. And so I think that's something that I'm kind of connecting right now that seems a little weird. But yeah, it was a very eye-opening situation. I'm also noticing that like when I see entities such as that, like actually see them manifest, I see them as older people. The first time I saw a ghost in my life was when I was a kid. And this is one of my earliest memories. I have two. I have this one. And then I have me on my fifth birthday sitting in my little Crayola chair saying, I'm five, I'm five. But I was around 7 years old and I was staying with my grandparents. And when I would get afraid, I would go and sleep in between my grandfather and my grandmother. This was a house they lived in for, I don't know, 25 years, maybe. I remember sitting up while we were sleeping and seeing this ghostly figure at the foot of the bed at like 7 years old. And I remember telling my grandfather, who's also a very, very spiritual Christian man, telling my grandfather that there was a ghost and I saw a ghost. And he was like, oh boy, you ain't see no ghost. Like, you ain't see no ghost. And I think I never really had an interaction like that until this particular interaction. And it kind of validated me. It kind of made me believe that it wasn't just like a child's eyes that I was seeing through, right? Like as an adult, I'm able to reason. I'm able to think for myself. I know what I see. I know what I don't. And I saw that night. And I don't know, it just gives you perspective, right? That we can't explain everything like we want to. But yeah, that was the first time I actually saw, first and only time I actually saw an entity in the house.
When you saw it, you said you go to the bathroom at night in pitch darkness. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you described her as glowing she couldn't have been reflecting or absorbing any other lights in the room if the lights were all off, right?
Right. Well, we didn't have a mirror. The only mirror that we had in the house that could have reflected, I think, that much light would be the one that's in our room. And we kind of like close the door, keep the door closed so that the other person doesn't hear the toilet and wake up, because we're very light sleepers. So no, not at that angle. I was also in the bathroom. And for light to travel and bounce, like, you would need some type of mirror somewhere. She was fully inside this small bathroom, arm's distance apart from me. Like, it was close and it was there and it was for a couple of seconds of being taken back, and then a couple of seconds of like, oh my God, that's a ghost. like that's a ghost. Like, lights on right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it was wild. It was wild.
Aside from glowing, was she doing anything? Was she looking at you?
You know how when you want to say something to somebody, and maybe this person, you haven't seen this person in a long time, and you just don't know what to say. Like, you want to, and you could tell that there's something on the tip of this person's lips, but they just can't make the words to describe what they're feeling. It felt like that, right? Like, it felt like she wanted to say something, not like warn me or whatever. Maybe she just wanted to say, hey, like, welcome to the home. You know what I mean? But it just felt like there was something that she wanted to say and she couldn't say it. She couldn't. And maybe if I had given her more time to do it, maybe there could have been that communication or something else could have happened. But I think that just the shock of it, right? I won't say fear, but just the shock of realizing that what you're seeing is real. I didn't give her that time. And I think that that's one of the things that I won't say regret, but I wish I hadn't given into that initial feeling of shock and just like reaction to just be like, oh, I need to get out of this situation. You know what I mean? She was just kind of just standing there, just kind of like looking at me like, I want to say something to you, but I don't know what.
Maybe she wasn't expecting you to see her. She wasn't prepared.
Maybe.
With what she wanted to communicate.
Yeah.
Even though that was the only time you actually saw her, I've heard through the grapevine that there were other things that happened where you knew there was something in the apartment. What sort of things were going on?
So there's one story. This one was kind of terrifying for me. I watch a lot of, I told you guys I teach forensics, and I watch a lot of like American serial killer, that, you know, Zodiac and California Butcher, whatever they're called. And I'm always like on high alert that somebody will break into the house and try to murder me. I don't know. It's just one of those irrational fears that I have. I like sleep with a like big pole beside my bed just in case like something happens. So I'm always kind of on high alert for weird things to happen at like nighttime when you can't see. I wouldn't say that I'm afraid of the dark, but I'm kind of afraid of the dark. Just because, like, even as an adult, like, if you can't see, then you don't know what's going on type of thing. So me and Zandra had been arguing a lot. And the source of our arguments was sharing of the covers. We had a very small blanket. And it would be cold. It's New York. And she would take the covers and I would take back the covers. And this went on for, like, weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. Oh my God, it went on for so long. This one particular night, when we would be tussling back and forth for the covers at night, of course we would wake up, and that, like, a lot of times when you wake up, you're like, well, I might as well just get up and go to the bathroom now. So she got up to go to the bathroom, and I knew that she had gotten up to go to the bathroom because I was I was too awakened by the tussle of the covers. And she goes in the bathroom and the door kind of shuts. Now, I will say that there was a draft in the house. So very realistically, it could have been just the draft, right? Because the windows didn't seal the best. So maybe, right? Like the door shut. But when the door shut, I thought that was her coming back into the room. all of a sudden, I'm like laying there. I adjust my face mask and the covers at the bottom of the bed start to get switched around. Like you're making up a bed, right? Like you're trying to spread the covers out. And it's not like they kind of fell to the side or anything. Or no, they were straightened out. They were picked up and straightened out. And I was like, babe, baby. And she wouldn't answer. Sandra wouldn't answer. And I was like, babe. And she was like, huh? And I could hear her in the bathroom. She was in the bathroom and I freaked out. I hopped up out of bed. I turned on the light and I was like, not today, devil. You are not going to get me. No. Lord Jesus, come to my rescue now, Lord. Because that was different. That was physical, right? And I had never experienced anything like that. And that was terrifying to me. That was scary to me, like literally so scary. Because I just, like, that's something you can't explain. And no matter how much you try to explain it in your head, the scary part is that you can't. It makes no sense for the covers to have done what they did in the manner that they did it. Had it fallen off the bed or, again, something like that, that's different. But for them to be adjusted as though somebody has their hands on them and are spreading them out as to cover your feet up, right? Like to make sure that your feet are covered. That was weird. That was really weird. I don't know. I was very taken aback. And then we started to think about it. And when we discussed it later on, we were like, well, maybe the ghost is just like trying to help us not argue about the covers. And we actually ended up talking to Sarah and Miguel about it. And they ended up sending us a new blanket, a bigger blanket, so we wouldn't have to tussle over the blanket anymore. But it was strange. It really was. It was like, again, exhilarating because I knew what happened. But it also was just like, why did this not happen when somebody else was around? Because those are the questions people ask. Well, yeah, okay, but it was nighttime though. So it's always nighttime. I'm like, well, maybe that's just when they're awake, bro. I don't know. I can't explain it to you. You know what I mean? But like, I know what I felt and I know what I saw. So yeah, it was wild. It was another time very recently. And this is when we were getting ready to move. I was sitting in the kitchen. Again, the window is closed. And I'm a teacher. So for a while, I was teaching remotely. We were trying to get vaccinated and all of that good stuff before I went back in the building. I was teaching remotely. And a lot of times I would teach in the kitchen so that me talking doesn't disturb Alexandra from doing the podcast or meetings that she might have or whatever. And she brings me tea every morning. It's like my favorite things, my favorite time of the day when I get tea from Sandra in the morning. And you know how the tea bag has the little string that dangles and normally it has the little square. I'm teaching. I'm not hitting the table at all. There's no draft because the window's closed. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's like steel. The little string is steel. It just starts to move sideways. Just like out of nowhere, just starts to move. And I was like, oh, by this time I'm used to it. You know what I mean? Like I'm not like really afraid anymore. I know that they're there. And it was just like, maybe it was a high, right? Because I don't know that all spirits have voices, which I think is why they remain. And they're trying to give voice through environment. So maybe that was a high. Maybe that was a don't go. Maybe that was a haven't messed with you in a while. Like just wanted to play around for a little bit. There was then, and then there was another time where I felt something on my arm. I was sitting in the chair and I felt like a hand on my arm. And I thought it was Andra again, and it wasn't her. She was like far away from me. And that was just like a weird thing too. That was in the kitchen too, I believe, where I'm facing the wall and I get like a touch on my arm and I look over and there's nobody there. And I kind of go back to what I'm doing and I'm like, Xandra? And she's like, huh? And she's like back in the room. So it's no way that it's her because she has many amazing qualities, but she is not the Flash. So there's no way that she was there and in the room at the same time. I would say those are the ones that stick out to me. I would, maybe other things have happened, but those are the ones that like really made me know that that's real. Like, it's real. I'm always trying to find the explanation for it. Like, I'm trying to not disprove it, but just make sure I cover all my bases. And those situations taught me that it's real. Unequivocally, it's there. Spirits are there.
You said several times they are there. So do you think there was more than one entity in that apartment?
Oh, for sure. Me and Sarah actually spoke about this. She believes, and I hadn't thought about it until she said it, because all of the actions and the experiences and interactions that I've had with them, and I say them, are very different, right? Like, I have the one where I see the older lady, there's no touching, there's just a look, and kind of like it feels like there needs to be something said, but there isn't something said. And then you get this jovial kind of interaction of moving the string on my tee or playing with the bottom of the covers, adjusting them. And that's something that I feel like I would do if I saw mom and dad arguing. I'd like try to help the situation. You know what I mean? And so I definitively say that there is more, but it just, they feel like more. It doesn't feel like the same spirit or entity that had been there that I experienced each time, whether that's 2 or 3 or 50, I don't know, but I definitely feel that there is more than one for sure.
It definitely sounds like you have the intuition to know.
Yeah. I don't know about all that, but I just, I think energy is important in whatever we do, right? Like energy between people, at your job, your passion, whatever it is. And I think when you live in a house with that much unresolved energy, be it good or be it bad, you feel it. And it's not my place to label it. It's not my place to try to manage it. It's not my place to try to get rid of it or anything. They were there first. So this is their home. And I just feel like you have to treat it as such. And I think a lot of that came from my spiritual background in the church. When you enter a church, there is a decorum and there is a respect that is owed that place because of what it symbolizes and the energy that is allowed to enter when you abide by that decorum and you abide with respect in that place can be life-changing. And so I tend to just let them do and be as they want and pray that I don't offend. Just like with anybody else, any other person, I just pray that I don't offend, that it's a harmonious and joyful thing for them too, especially if they're stuck or, you know, however it goes. We don't really know how they get there or stick around or whatever it is, but I just hope I did it right. And I hope I was a good roommate.
Speaking of why they remain, you said that you had a theory of they remain perhaps to gain a voice or to use the environment for their voice. Mm. Can you tell us more about how you feel about that?
You know, I think it's one of those things that I think no matter where we are in our lives, there are things that we observe. There are things that we learn, and that's how we grow. I don't know if that stops after we pass, especially because we don't know what passing is until we pass. That's one of life's secrets that you just never, you know, is black hole, a wormhole, and when you die, where do we go? Just two things we won't know for a very long time. And so for me, I believe that when we pass, and we have a scientific theory that says energy is not destroyed, it's recycled, right? It's conserved and then redistributed. So by that account, and by the physics of our own universe, when we die, whatever is keeping us alive and helping us to be conscious, whether that's a spirit or just a spark, I think that that remains. And I think that that spark always observes. It's always taking in what it's around and what it's a part of. And it is in our nature to express. And I don't think that that dies as we pass on. I believe it could become more intuitive, because if you're pure energy, and if we're pure energy, and we're able to feel and see and touch and be omnipresent, be a spirit in a place, I would think that what we had to say would increase exponentially.
I also really like what you were saying about they were here first. When we move into that space, we become their roommates, but they were here first, and we need to respect that. And we've heard that from other guests as well. And I think that's just a beautiful way to approach it. Very respectful. I love that.
Gotta have respect. No matter what, you gotta have respect.
Absolutely. Or else they'll do something worse to your tea, right?
You can't win a race to the least respectful with a ghost. It can get bad.
For sure. Yeah.
Becky, do you think that's why so many of our guests who have played with Ouija boards unprepared have had such negative experiences? Because it was such an offensive method of communication?
It could be. Yeah, that's actually something I've been thinking about a lot lately. Just why do things go so wrong? You're just using a Ouija board. Like, how bad could it be? But it does seem like we have a lot of stories of people. Yeah, I think that might be a good explanation. Maybe they just piss someone off.
Yeah.
It's like, you are offending me.
Right.
I'll get you.
Exactly.
Or you wanted to talk to me. I'm here. I'm going to be here for 20 years bugging you. Like, what did you want? We've heard that too. Any closing words that you'd like to share with everyone before we sign off here?
I'm thankful to have experienced what I have experienced. There are so many stories about people who have these encounters, and there are even more stories about people who don't believe these people have had these encounters. And I think firmly now, regardless of what anybody else says or does or thinks about my experience, I know what I have experienced. And I think it's a beautiful thing to see in the in-between, is what I kind of call it, right? Like, what is beyond that state of being, beyond this state of being and further, to be able to glimpse into that and feel that and experience that, I think is a beautiful thing. And I think that it's something that, like, I hold dear, because I feel chosen in those moments for whatever reason. I'm just thankful and I'm humbled. And it lets me know that there is so much that I don't know and that I will never know. And that's okay. But when you lead with respect first, and when you lead with an open mind and pure interest, like kid interest, we're able to feel and communicate and experience things that we can't understand, but feel amazing. And maybe one day it'll happen again. You know, Sarah and Miguel are moving back to the apartment, so maybe it's not the last time I'll come in contact with them. I'm sure we're going to have our couple dinners and stuff again.
Yes, yes. And I forgot to mention at the beginning, before we hit record, we talked about it, but you actually were interviewed by the New York Times about the experiences that you had in this apartment, which we will link to in our show notes and on our Facebook page. Clearly, people are becoming a little bit more open-minded about this sort of thing. I mean, if the Times even was talking about it, that's usually a pretty good sign.
Right.
But the whole idea of quarantining with ghosts sounds chilling, but it sounds like you, from what you described, it was actually more of a beautiful, warm experience.
It really
aside
was.
Aside from the blanket experience.
It really was. I'm thankful. Yeah, it was cool. We were on Inside Edition, too. That was crazy.
Inside Edition? Really?
Yeah. I had a friend from college who, I guess they saw, because you know how the news outlets are. They see one thing and then everybody wants to get on top of it. And a friend of mine from college was like, hey, this is going to be weird, but were you just on Inside Edition talking about ghosts, dude? And I was like, yeah, that was me. That was definitely me. It was really funny. But it was fun. It was a fun experience.
Your friends were cool with it? They didn't wonder what was wrong with you?
They thought it was cool that I was on TV. Yeah, they probably thought. Oh. Yeah, they definitely thought that. But I was on TV, so I made it. It's all good.
Nice.
Oh, that's cool. Did Inside Edition give you a chance to talk about your music?
They did not. They didn't. Ugh. They didn't let me talk about my music.
I know you have a link tree. Can you tell people where they can find your website so they can get links to your music and your Instagram and all of that?
Sure. You can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, KBLU Music. That's at KBLU Music on Instagram, and then Facebook.com/KBLU Music. My website is kbluemusic.org. Twitter is KerryBlue1. And that's pretty much, that's all I really use, those things. And if you go to the website, you can find all of those things on there. But yeah, this was so fun. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And we'll be sure we have links to all of your handles and your websites on our show notes, which are at homespunhaints.com. To everyone listening out there, please be sure you follow us on Instagram at homespunhaints, Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest at homespunhaints. And we will be including links and other snippets that Carrie provides for us on those platforms as well as that New York Times article. And maybe we can find the Inside Edition as well to share on our page. Also, if you enjoyed listening to us, please consider supporting us. We do have a Patreon at patreon.com/homespunhaints. Carrie, this was wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your stories with us. I love your outlook toward everything that you've experienced. I think that's just a beautiful way to look at all of these things that we can't explain. It's been very refreshing talking to you, and I love your music. I look forward to listening to the next tracks that you put out.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank y'all for having me. This was an amazing interview. I really do appreciate it.
Great. Good. Thank you.
Awesome. And to our listeners, have a spooky day.
Homespun Haints is hosted by Becky Kielemnik and Diana Doty and produced by The Concept Spot. Editing and music by Becky Kielemnik. Show notes by Diana Doty. If you have a ghost story and you'd like to be considered as a guest for this podcast, please visit our website at homespunhaints.com/submit.